So this is a shiur to try to find a connection between Parshas Shmini and Parshas Parah. Now the reading of Parshas Parah, according to one school of thought, is actually D'oraisa. The Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Pei Hei quotes Tosfos in Brachos, Yesh Parshios Hamachuyovim Likros Midoraisa, Kamo Parshas Zohar Uparshas Paraduma. In Shulchan Aruch, his language is Yesh Omish Parshas Zohar Uparshas Paraduma, Chayovim Likoram Midoraisa. The Mishnah Brura is quick to point out that this is a das in Rishonim, but it's not really an easy opinion to justify, because there doesn't seem to be any source in the Torah for the mitzvah of reading Parshas Parah. I mean, Parshas Zohar is clear. The Torah says Zohar es asher osel chamalek, and therefore the reading of the Parsha logically could be D'oraisa. But in the case of Parah, where would be the source for the mitzvah D'oraisa of reading Parshas Parah? So in order to investigate this, we want to learn the first two psukim in Parshas Parah and analyze them in the light of a chiddush from the Avodas Yisrael, the Kashan Tzomagit. He says the following, on the pasuk Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe V'Aaron Lemar, which the word Lemar is not per se an extra word, because it probably means that Hashem told Moshe and Aaron the Parsha Paraduma to be transmitted to Bnei Yisrael. But in the next pasuk it says, Zos Chukas HaTorah Shartziva Hashem Lemar. There does seem to be an extra word Lemar. So let's just read the Avodas Yisrael. He says the following, Nira Lefarish Miles Lemar. What is the ribui that's being added by the extra word Lemar? Mora kedas ha'omrim sheparshas parah midoraisa. This would indicate that there's a source in the Torah itself to read parshas parah. In other words, the extra word in this pasuk is an allusion through, of course, remez, Torah Sheval Peh, that we have to read the parsha of parah. And that remez, because it's in the Torah, could engender a mitzvah doraisa. So I would have suggested that maybe it's a kiyuma mitzvah, it's not a chiyuma mitzvah, but in any event, he says the following. Here's the punchline though. Sha'afilu bizman hazeh, even though today we don't have the possibility of actually bringing the paraduma, going through the entire process, we need El Pesach Ol Moed, you need a Beis HaMikdash, but nevertheless, tzarech likros ha'parsha. He says the following, we read the Parsha of Paraduma, and then we invoke the principle of Unishalma Parms Fosenu, and here's the punchline, V'tiye Amiras HaParshios Bimokom, or Bimkom, Asiyas HaPara V'zeu Lemar. In other words, when we read the Parsha, we are actually fulfilling, through the principle of Unishalma Parms Fosenu, the mitzvah Asiyas HaPara. And that's really fascinating, because what it means is that just like Karbanos, which we cannot bring today because of the Churban, nevertheless, when we read the Parshios of the Karbanos, we get a kiyum, we obtain some sort of fulfillment of the mitzvah of Karban. So too in the case of Para, like the Karbanos, we achieve an Asiyas, a kiyum of Asiyas HaParah. So that itself is a remarkable chiddush, that the mitzvah of Parah still exists today, midoraisa, and how do we fulfill it? By reading the parasha. And I want to go even beyond this. If you look in the Imre Arim, in the Chassidus Shesfarim, it says that hatara mi parshas Parah hu tahara kimo yom kippur. Let me take a minute of your time to try to explain Lufi Ani'as Daiti what I think he's telling us, a radical chiddush. We would understand Tara to refer to a process of purification for someone who was contaminated and contracted tumor. And that's it. That's where it begins, and that's where it ends. The word tara and the concept of purification has an entirely different meaning in a different context. For example, when we get to Yom HaKippurim, which the Torah says, titaru lifnei Hashem Elokechem titaru, that tara of Yom HaKippurim is not some sort of process of removing tumah. Of course, the avi avos ha-tumah is tumas mes. And we understand that the power of the paraduma is to remove even tumas mes. But now we're putting the tara power of paraduma in an entirely different context. By equating it with Yom HaKippurim, and by formulating the principle that the same tahara of Yom HaKippurim is achieved through the para, and how do we know this? He says, based on a sugya in Yuma, because the sugya in Yuma compares through Hekesh both tahara, the process of Yom HaKippurim, and tahara of the paraduma, based on the pasuk lasos lechaper, and the Gemara darshins lasos lechaper. The word lasos is a reference to the Maisa Para, and the word lechaper is a reference to Yom HaKippurim. And from this equation, this Hekesh, the Gemara in Yuma derives the halacha of Prisha. Prisha means that for 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is, so to speak, quarantined. He's isolated. He doesn't resume his relations with his wife. So too, in the case of he, the Kohen who's in charge of the Maisa Para, he also needs Prisha. He needs a 7-day preparation period. But in Chassidus, this equation between the Maisa Para and Yom HaKippurim engenders a whole different type or dimension of tara that is built into the parsha of Paraduma, which means that Paraduma is a parsha the subject of which is not just tara from tumah, but also tara in a spiritual sense, in an ethical sense. It literally purifies a person from sin. And what we want to discuss today is why the Paraduma experience, which dates back, of course, to Aaron HaKohen, who was the first Kohen Gadol to bring to implement the Maisa Para. What is it about the Para experience that has a power of Tara, again, Taras HaNefesh, as an inner experience reflecting on the character and the personality of a person? He goes on and he says, V'hagam she'ein beis hamikdash kayam. And even though today we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's impossible to literally and physically implement the Maisa Para, Im Kol Zeh, nevertheless, Im HaKriya, with the reading of Parshas Para Yesh Tara, we can achieve a Tara which is similar to, or equal to, the Tara of Yom HaKippurim. That means the reading of Parshas Para achieves the same goal as Yom HaKippurim. Wow, that puts it on a very, very high level. V'gam bizman ha-churban yesh gam kein tahara. So even after the Churban HaBayis, even though one dimension of the para, namely the ability to bring the para physically and remove tumah, that's lost, that's suspended for the meantime until the Bayis HaShlishi. Nevertheless, there is one dimension of tahara which we can achieve even today. In other words, when the Mikdash stood, we had a double kiyum of tara. We achieved tara and removed tumah, and we achieved shalom aleichem, and we achieved tara like we do on Yom HaKippurim. But today, after Churban, obviously we don't have the Maisa Para in the sense of creating mechatos and hazoya and shiva and zayin and removing tumah, but what we do have through the parasha of para, and by reading the parasha of para, we achieve the tahara similar to that of Yom HaKippur. And it seems to me that based on this chidush, this breakthrough, that there's a twofold tahara that's achieved by Paraduma, I think we might be able to suggest an answer to a question of Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, which is a fundamental objection that he has to Rashi. The problem is the following. Rashi's going to tell us something in his Pirush al HaTorah in Parshas Mishpatim, which seems to contradict that which we know from the Gemara, the Sugya in Gittin. The Sugya in Gittin tells us on Daf Samach, in the name of Rabbi Levi, that on the day of Hakamas HaMishkan, eight parshios in the Torah were given to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara goes on to list all eight of them. The last on the list is Parshas Paraduma. And Rashi says, why was Parshas Paraduma transmitted to Bnei Yisrael on the very day of Hakamas HaMishkan, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Says Rashi, Lefisha B'yom HaMachras, on the very next day, Nisrafa HaPara Lios Nitharim Lepischehem. They needed the Maisa HaPara because those who were Tmei Meis could no longer be qualified and they were no longer candidates for the Karban Pesach. So on the very following day, they would have to bring the para in order to be Matai of the Tmei Mason. Well, you may ask me, but why couldn't they be Matai of them earlier? And we'll see exactly what Rashi means. He says, Lo Yuchlu La Sosa, there was no possibility of implementing the para and the Tara thereof earlier than this point, before the Mishkan was erected. The Be'inon, we need, as the Pasuk says, Vehiza el nochach pnei oel moed. We need Pesach ol moed. And that was only after Rosh Chodesh Nisan at the time of Hakomas HaMishkan. So Be'echad, the Gemara says in Yerushalmi and Megillah, Be'echad b'Nisan hukam HaMishkan u'b'sheni lo nisrfa HaPara. So the Ra'im raises the following question. Rashi in his Pirush al HaTorah in Shmos Perek Tesvav, I said Mishpatim, it's way before, I'm sorry. It says Sham Samlo Choku Mishpa Sham Niso. Rashi says Sham Samlo, and that's Mara. Rashi says that the mitzvos that were given in Mara include Shabbos, Paraduma, and Dinim. Elsewhere, Rashi mentions Kibud Avaim. But be that as it may, Rashi has Paraduma. The Torah Tmima goes ballistic on this thing. He says it's a mistake, whatever. But anyway, there's no leg to stand on that this is a mistake in the print. Rashi elsewhere, and many Rishonim quote Rashi as saying that the Paraduma was given at Mara. Frek Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi, it's the bottom of your page 1. The Gemara in Gittin establishes that Paraduma was one of the 8 parashios that was given to Bnei Yisrael on the day of Hakamas HaMishkan. And yet, Rashi says that amongst those mitzvos, those parashios that were given at Mara, way before Hakamas HaMishkan, was Paraduma. So if that be the case, there's a stira between Rashi and the Gemara Gittin. The Gemara Gittin clearly postpones the Parsha Paradum until the Yom HaKomas HaMishkan. And Rashi has the giving of Parshas Mitzvahs Paraduma as early as Mara. So I thought, Lefi Ani Hasdaiti, if you're thinking along my lines, maybe you have it also, that there's no stira between the two. Paraduma has 2 dimensions to it. Paraduma as a theoretical entity, and even through Kriyas HaParsha, could bring Tara. And when we say Tara, we're not talking about Tara Mitumas Mes, we're talking about Tara as an inner emotional experience, similar to Yom HaKippurim. And in that sense, the mitzvah of Paraduma and all its meaning whether it be its conceptual meaning, the fact that, you know, Shlomo Melch declares about Parat Duma, Amarti Echma V'Rechok, and we don't understand it, so that's the concept of a chok. The fact that we can study the Parsha of Parat Duma and be Mekayim Mitzvah Talmud Torah, the fact that through the reading of Parshas Parah we can achieve Tara like that of Yom HaKippurim, all that existed from the time of Mara. From the time of Hakamas HaMishkan, we were given the practical tzivui, the mitzvah lemaisa, to implement the Parat Duma as a process of Tara Mitumas Mes. And that was necessary and was feasible only from the time of Hakamas HaMishkan and on the 1st of Nisan, to prepare the people for the mitzvah of Karban Pesach by undergoing a process of Tara. So just to summarize, what we're saying until now is that there are two dimensions, Tzvei Dinim to Parat Duma. One din of Parat Duma is more theoretical, it's not tangible, we're not talking about removing Tuma from the goof. And that is a dimension of Tahara, the likes of which we have on Yom HaKippurim. And number two, in addition to the theoretical and experiential Tara of Parat Duma, Parat Duma is Lamaisa Tachlis, a process through which we can be Matara a Tomei Mes. And the difference there might be between what was given at Mara, that's the theoretical Parat Duma with all its power, as a parsha of Limud of Kriya, and then we have the practical dimension and all the instructions and all the details about how exactly to implement the Maisa Parah that came when it was feasible, namely after the Hakamas HaMishkan on the 1st of Nisan. But what I want to move on to with you today is to see if we can find answers to the following two questions. Question number one, is there any connection between Parshas Shmini and Parshas Parat Duma? Obviously it fell this year on the calendar because it was a leap year, but it doesn't matter. I want to see a deeper significance. And question number two is to focus your attention on this Tara process. What is it all about? How does a person purify himself and achieve Tara? What's it all about? So let's take a look at what happens as recorded by the Torah Parsha Shmini at the end of the 8 days of Milun. The Torah says the following, Vayhi bayom ha-shmini, this is on the top of your page 2, Korah Moshe li Aaron ulebanov ulezikne Yisrael vayomer al Aaron Kach lecha egel ben bokar lechatas. Bnei Yisrael, bring a seir izim lechatas. A seir izim as a carbon chatas is pretty classic. It's very common. A par lechatas is very common. An egel is very unique. And the one who notices this, calls our attention to this, is the Malbim. The Malbim says, Yiplu b'tzivui ze kama she'elos. With regard to Kach Lecha Egel, there are a number of questions we can raise. He has a long list of questions. We're going to focus our attention on two of those. Aleph, the first, and Gimel, the third. Aleph, he asks, Achrei she'bechol zayin yimei miluim, hayakarban Aaron, Ubanav parlachatos, etc., etc. So that Aaron, on his behalf and on behalf of all of Echav HaKohanim, would bring on every single one of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim until the eighth day, he would bring a parlachatos. Lama biyom zeh. Why on this day, on the Yom HaShmini, ba egel, the egel is coming as a karm chatos tmuras, to replace, to substitute for the parachatos. Why is that so? And question number two, for our purposes, Lavan its tabu Yisrael b'soyer lechatos v'lo egel ki aron. Why is it that if you're already giving on the eighth day a karbon lechatos for Aaron, and then you're going to give a karbon lechatos for Bnei Yisrael, why is it that the Bnei Yisrael are going to bring a soyer and Aaron is going to bring an egg? So obviously, the petach, the opening through which we should answer these questions, is the nature, the unique nature of this ego, and the whole experience of Aaron bringing this ego. If you fast forward to page 3 of your Maror Makomos, Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, here in Perek Tes of Sefer Vayikra, had to really encourage Moshe Rabbeinu to bring his karma. Kravel on his back. In other words, Aaron was hesitating. And you all remember the Rashi. Rashi says, Shaya Aaron Bosh, V'yare, Lagesha, see Rashi. Aaron HaKohen, this is the day in which he finally gets to serve in the Mishkan. He's the Kohen Gadol. And yet he has hesitations. He's embarrassed. He's overwhelmed by a sense of awe and fear. And he doesn't want to come close to the Mizbeach. Amar lo Moshe, Lama tabosh, lekach nivcharta, which literally means you were chosen and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Rise to the occasion. Function is going on. So now we can go back to Pasuk Beis in the same Perek where Aaron is commanded to bring an ego, and we can see that this egel plays a very unique role. This egel is connected the egel azov, and it's meant to convey a message to Aaron: bring this egel and farta gamaisa, close the story, finito. Let's close the entire parsha of Chet Egel as far as you're concerned, Aaron. This is your clincher, this is your kapara, this is going to purify you from any connection that you had, any connection whatsoever in the Maisa HaEgel. The Malbim makes reference to a different statement in the Medrash. He says, Amru Bitam Karbona Shal Aaron Shehikriv Egel Chatos Lishloach Doron El Asatan. He invokes a principle which we find by the Sayer Lazazel of Yom HaKippurim, that sometimes Kaviyachal, I mean the Ramban has a long arichas on this, we send, so to speak, a gift to the powers of evil, you know, the darker powers of the universe, the Satan. But here, the Malbim presents a chiddush. He says the following. We know that ki yigdal hachet lefi erech ha'isha asoso. There's a principle that sin is relative to the sinner. Gam chet katan, what you and I would consider a small lightweight sin, yigdal mi'odim asoso adam gadol. For an adam gadol to fall and sin in that way, it's already considered a chet gadol. Ya yigdal ma'ot, yigdal ma'ot. It's a real heavy sin. Like it says in Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medagdek with a tzaddikim kichut hasayra. So sin is relative. Like for example, we find by the Bnei Eli HaKohen, according to one daya, they delayed a little bit in bringing the karbon, and yet it was such a terrible punishment because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medagdek with tzaddikim kichud hasayra. The flip side is also true. Tiktan hatshuva vazchus lefi erech ha'adam. Even the good part of it, when you do tshuva and you get merits, that's also relative. And therefore, if a person is on a lower echelon, he's not a gadol, then he can do a lower kind of tshuva and he'll get zchuyas. But that same level of tshuva, although it's fine for someone who's pachos, he's on a lower echelon, but that very same tshuva is not sufficient for an adam gadol. The adam gadol is a tviya, and he has to do a more profound kind of tshuva. And until this point, we're fine with the Malbim. But now the Malbim goes a step further, and he's mechadish a gevaldige chiddush. He says, "Lachem Yitzuyar, it's possible shatshuva sha'asa adam al cheto sheniskabel beratzon biyosav adreg tana lo taspik achar sha'ola el madrega lemalam imen." Although the tshuva was sufficient at the time that you were still on a madrega ketana, you underwent this process of tshuva, and that was accepted by Hashem. Nevertheless, now you were elevated to a higher level, and on this madrega gedola, the madrega lamala, yisorer oz yisorah chet, the chet that somehow was subjugated and was placed in the backstage, now all of a sudden emerges frontal stage. The yigdal lefi madrigasa. And now on your level, this is because chet somehow accompanies you through your entire life. Now on this new level, he's saying the Malbim, you need a different type of tshuva on a higher level, just like the chet now, relative to where you are today, having been elevated to the high madriga is a serious, a more severe and weighty sin. So to the tshuva that you did in the past is not sufficient. You need a more weighty tshuva now that you're on a higher level. And any schusim that he achieved then, b'shaita, which you and I would have said logically, that's it. And the story of sin is a closed book. It's forgotten, and it's, how should I say, buried in history with many, many layers of offer. No, it somehow reemerges, and this is the way he wants to explain Aaron HaKohen. Here in Parashat Shmini, al pi hanocha zu, Omar Moshe li Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, "Shegam, even though shekvar kibel hakadosh baruch hu tshuvaso v'nisratzalo, you've done a great deal of tshuva, and it was enough. Hashem accepted it for whatever happened at the Egel. But nevertheless, hine ata now, sheyavo lemikdashi." L'mikdashekel, now you're coming in to serve as Kohen Gadol in God's Mikdash. L'sharis b'kuna gadola, yis'orer hamakatre glastino l'fi gadol kurvaso elokimato. Now you have to be worried about the makatre, the satan. If you don't pacify him, then he's going to come, bounce back, and he's going to say, look, that tshuva that Aaron implemented is not good enough relative to where he is today. Now he was Ola L'Gdula. Now he's on the level of Kohen Gadol. He's the leader of Klal Yisrael, and he's serving in the Beis HaMikdash. The Satan is going to work overtime here. Shalafiu, according to the argument of the Satan, Katna Tshuvaso V'Gadol Cheto L'Malarosh. The Satan comes forward with a very powerful argument and says, look, the tshuva that Aaron did is on a lower level, and it was fine as a reflection of where he was before he got the appointment, before he became Kohen Gadol, but now he's on a higher level. He's Gadol Amal Rosh, and he needs a greater schus. He needs a more intense and profound tshuva. L'chein tzivou l'hakriv egel l'chatos al maisa ha'egel. And therefore Hashem commands him to bring an egel as a karma chatas maisa egel. Yuri?
I don't understand. I mean, I hear what the Malbim is saying, but don't we only say that the original tshuva on something is powerful enough to wipe that out at that point, and that's it? I mean, our normal understanding of tshuva process is,
right,
for example, Yom Kippur, the person goes through it, and not that he forgets the chay completely, but the lisa, doesn't it affect a cleansing or whatever it is that at that time, that's it, it's gone, it's finished. I've probably borrowed this machaper.
Right, and I'm sure, Yudi, that your opinion is very popular, very well accepted, and very well founded. What the Malbim is saying is that the Gemara at the end of Yuma derives from a pasuk that chatosi kenegdi tamid, that somehow the chet, you know, even though we do have a principle of you know, averos nasim lo kizachios, but nevertheless there is some impact of sin and some sort of latent in the subconscious mind, some sort of impact that sin still has on the personality. And because according to the Malbim, tshuva is relative, so since there's this chait that is lurking in the shadows, you know, he's if you open the door, you know, the dark cellar, the chait is still there, then now we have to take out the tshuva and re-examine it and evaluate it, and what we find is relative to where you are now today, that tshuva that you did then no longer is powerful enough to engender a kapara for you as you are today on your madrega. That tshuva that you did is not sufficient. So I guess you could say that there are two dimensions to chet and two dimensions to tshuva according to the Malbim. There's one dimension to tshuva which perhaps only relates to kapara, meaning you have to pay up with a punishment unless you achieve kapara, and the kapara wipes off your chiv onesh. And in that sense, Yudi, I think the Malbim would probably agree with you that once he did tshuva b'shaita and that tshuva was accepted, he has kapara. But maybe there's another level above and beyond onshim, a level of where are you in your closeness to Hashem. That's what I call tshuva shel tahara, that chait somehow above and beyond the chiyuv onish that engenders it also has an impact on your personality. That impact, or the shirayim, you know, some sort of you know, leftovers, will accompany you all through life. And now you need a new powerful tshuva when you reach the level of nisgadol lemaila in the case of Aaron when you became a kohen gadol. But be that as it may, the bottom line, Rabbi Osai, is that according to the Malbim, we begin to appreciate very well that there's an equation between the process of Tara that Aaron HaKohen has to undergo for, you know, for the Chet Egel, and he has to bring the Egel, and we understand how that's connected to the Tara that we spoke about earlier of Paraduma, which we read on Parashat Shmini in this case. And not only that, but we could also point to the fact that Aaron, as we saw in Rashi, needed the encouragement of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kare karevel hamizbeach shaya Aaron bosh v'yare. Now, you and I might think, well, Aaron, why are you being bosh? And Moshe could simply, without pushing you, without, you know, you wouldn't have to work overtime to tell you that, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mekabel yotshuva. Says the Malbim, no, he needs the Egel. And the Egel is the Egel Azov. And now he's going to have to undergo an experience of Busha as part and parcel of a process of Tara, which I want to point out to you in the Balei HaMusar. And that process of Tara is going to be necessary and reflect the new madrega that Aaron HaKohen reached on that great day when he served as Kohen Gadol. So in his godless Hamala, he needs this Tara to completely undermine and cleanse him and purify from any impact that's still felt in his neshama and his nefesh from, as a result of his role, his participation in Chet HaEgel. The Ramban here in Parsha Shmini on Pasuk Zayin says, "V'tam karev al mizbeach." Why does Moshe have to encourage Aaron to bring this egel? And he quotes the opinion that Hoya Aaron rois on mizbeach. You remember this Chazal that Aaron saw a vision as he came close to the mizbeach. Kitav nishar. He saw the vision or the shape of an ox. An ox, of course, is the parent of an egel. He thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still angry at him, at Aaron, because of the chet egel. And he saw it in a vision. It's almost like, you know, if you were a Freudian psychologist, you know, you would have a whole presentation about this. You know, that when people are guilty, they see things lurking in the shadows that, you know, remind them of their sins and their pitfalls. Here, Aaron sees on the mizbeach some sort of tav nishar. Vayim v'siyari v'menu. Nichnas, Moshe eats etz lo. Moshe comes in and he says, "Omer lo Aaron achi, lo tira You have nothing to fear. Mimai shatav misyari. Don't be fear for that. Hagas datcha. You should have a hagas of your das, meaning like gasas ruach. You should be proud of yourself. Uba karev elav, and go closer to bring the carbon on the mizbeach. Lekach omer karev elav mizbeach. Vayikrav elav mizbeach bizrizus. Once Moshe Rabbeinu calmed him down that he has nothing to be afraid of, then he immediately brought his carbon, chatos, the egel chatos. V'tam dover zeh, and why is Aaron so afraid until Moshe Rabbeinu calms him down? Shahoya Aaron kodesh kadosh Hashem, kadosh Hashem. This is the Rabban in many places in his Pirush al Torah. He calls Aaron kodesh Hashem. He's the holy one. Hoya Aaron. Shoya Aaron kodesh Hashem. V'ein b'nafsho chet. This is an unbelievable statement. Aaron has no other sin that has any sort of blemish on his soul. Zulose ma'isegel. With the exception of ma'isegel. We're going to soon see that that's a problem, because we know that Aaron, it was decreed that Aaron would not enter Eretz Yisrael because of the sin of what? Of the Mei Meriva. But in any event, according to this Moshe, meaning the Ramban, the chait, the unique and singular chait, or exclusive chait of Aaron, was the Maisa Egel, a chait ahu kavul of machshavto. He only had one sin, and it was ingrained in his mind. Wherever he turned, he always thought about that sin. As David Mel tells us, v'chatasi negdi samin. I have a constant awareness of my sin. That there's no possibility for him, for Aaron, to bring this carbon and be mechaper. And therefore Moshe had to say to him, don't be a shval ruach kolkach. Don't be so humble. Don't be so self-negating. What's it called when you... you know, bittel atzmi. How do they translate that into English? Do you remember? Well, for lack of another term, we'll call it self-negating. So you're putting yourself down. Shekvar rotza Elokim es ma'asof. At this level, you should know you've achieved that tshuva and that tzchus, which completely purifies you from any connection to the chet ha'egel. And therefore, just bring the carbon and fartik, and it's over. You have nothing to be embarrassed about, nothing to be ashamed about. What I want to do with you in the few minutes that we have remaining is to study one of the contemporary great Bali Musar Ablev Chasman, this Bonei Na. What is the message for us, for each and every one of us personally, from this parasha? He says, Hine, on the one hand, Bechet Me Meriva Kosu B'Torah Mefurash, Shavur Zelo Yikonsu Moshe V'Yaron Loretz, V'Nilu Kol HaRishonim Limtso HaChet. Right, we work, and the commentaries work overtime to try to understand and appreciate what was the Chet at Me Meriva. And for that Chet, Moshe and Aaron were enjoined from entering into Eretz Yisrael. In Cain, Al Maisa Egel, Sha'asa Aaron. Here we know that Aaron himself personally created the Egel. V'lo kosma Torah shavur zelo yikanes laretz. So why didn't the Torah say that this sin, which Ramban, as you saw, identifies as his only sin, Aaron should have been denied entry into Eretz Yisrael? Al kach we have to say at the Tzarech Lomar, Borer, and it's clear, Shecheto Zelo Hayabo Mila'akvo Biosolorets, that whatever participation and guilt Aaron shares in the ego, it wasn't serious and it wasn't severe, and nothing in comparison to the Mei Meriva, which we don't even understand what Aaron's sin was. The Afim Tipsisham Ezap Gam Chait, and even if you come up with some sort of sin, some shemetz, you know, a little shmek of a sin in the case of Aaron, because he threw the Zav into the fire and the eagle and so forth. He rots HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'asav HaSol LeKohen Gadol. Despite that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed him as Kohen Gadol. Uvecholzos. Okay, so we're talking about a sin which the Torah says it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him for that sin. This sin was on a lower level apparently than Chet HaMeriva, which we don't even know B'chlal what that sin was. So we're really talking about kleinigkeiten, in other words, small things as far as we're concerned. Oh, says Rav Leiv Chasman, now we can learn a lesson from Aaron for all of us. Uvecholzot, nevertheless, despite all that, in some sense, he was the cause of the Chet Egel. He set up a chain reaction. Imagine, the Ramban says that this chet, which we don't even know what a chet is here in this case, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meratzeh him, nevertheless he constantly had this chet in front of his eye, in front of the eye of his mind. Acharod mushar al mizbech. Look how emotionally impacted Aaron is by the carrying of this chet with him constantly, on a constant basis, such that now he sees what we don't see, the dmus of Ashar and the Mizbeach. Here's the message for us, says Rav Leiv Chasman. Harei im Aaron Kadosh Hashem Kach. If this is what we describe in the life of Aaron Hashem, who is the Kadosh Hashem, he's totally sanctified. He's mamish, the personification of Kedusha. Is my Yomar Adam, what should we say? Sha'avar Avera Mamish, when we violated Chas V'Shalom, an explicit sin head on. I mean, no question about it. Umiskavin, we had intention, we were deliberate, Vizodon, it was amazing. Ad Kama Tasigu Apachad Vabizoyam, Lo Geshes El Mizbach Hashem. When we want to come in front of Hashem to fulfill his mitzvahs or to pray for him, and we're coming in front of God, shouldn't we be overwhelmed? I mean, completely swept off our feet by the fear. Where will man get his faith and optimism? And therefore, it's a sort of like an audacity on our part when we come l'geshes al mizbeach to do the mitzvahs Hashem, as we said before, to bring to daven in front of Hashem, and we come close to Hashem. And who are we? We are violators of explicit sins. In kain v'eis gishto l'spal al chayav v'slichaso avonis l'fufluzei Hashem. Therefore, when we come close to Hashem to daven and to beg for forgiveness and atonement, should we not be overwhelmed by even a greater and more intense pachad of fear, a knias halev to subjugate our hearts, a busha, absolute self-humiliation, for our bodies should shake and shudder, because our chatoim should be constantly in our mindset. And again, Rabbosai, this is a Litvish approach. You know, in Hasidus they might say, you know, don't get depressed. You know, if you're totally focused and constantly obsessed with thoughts about your sin and how humiliated you are and so on, maybe it'll eventually bring you to a state, chashon, of depression. You won't be able to do any mitzvahs. So that's the flip side. But Rav Leiv Chasman is giving us the shtark of Musar of Yira, of the school of Yira. And we should make a kal v'chomer from Aaron. If Aaron had this sin in front of his eyes constantly, such that he saw a dmus of a shor on the mizbeach, he was bushed out, he was humiliated to come close to the mizbeach. For what? For a sin that we don't even understand. Even if it was a sin, but it's not on the level of Mei Meriva, which we don't understand. Achein zoya mido Hashem ifnei Aaron kodesh Hashem. But the reason, if you ask why we aren't able to feel that push and only Aaron is because Aaron is Kodesh Lashem. He's completely dedicated and close to Hashem. Shivisi Hashem Leg Bisov, and he's constantly aware of God. Aaron lives 24/7 in a world in which the knowledge and the awareness of God and God's greatness and the fear and awe of God is with him constantly. It always accompanies him. Mishum kach, and therefore Isa gam chatoso negdo samid, he constantly had his sin in front of his eyes. Because someone who really understands and really recognizes the greatness of God, he automatically feels a certain kind of busha. He realizes that he's a shafel compared to God. And who is he? He's a person who, chas v'shalom, did sins, V'chatosi negdi somin. So here we have Rabosa, a very strong musavart, a shtaka musashmus from Rav Leib Chasman in our Yael to teach us how much we have to strive to reach a madrega. If we can only have a picture, a vision of the level of Aaron HaKohen, of the Kadosh Hashem, Chatosi Negdi Tamid, of the Busha of Aaron, and how much more so us, who are we, and what sins are we guilty of, and explicit sins. But I want to conclude, Rabosai, our discussion, our limud today, with an insight of the Sfas Emes here in Parshas Shmini. And I call this chiddush of the Sfas Emes cause and effect, effect and cause. I'll explain to you what I mean. He says the following. On Rashi, in the name of Chazal, that Aaron was told by Moshe, why are you embarrassed? Why are you suffering from this busha and you don't want to go to the Mizbeach? Lekach nivcharta. So the Mefarshim also always understand the classical cause and effect relationship is Bishvil Abusha Shahayalo Nivchar. Lekach nivcharta means that you have this level of busha, that's what we saw before in Rav Leib Chasman, and therefore Aaron, you deserve to be chosen. But V'itochen Lomar, says Sfas Emes, that there's an additional and even more profound idea in Lekach Nivcharta. Lekach Nivcharta is not that because of the Busha you were chosen, but you were chosen in order to reach and attain Busha. Turn around the cause and effect and make it into effect and cause. V'itochen Lomar Adarav, Tachlis HaBechira, what was the ultimate goal of appointing Aaron, elevating him to the job of Kohen Gadol, Lizkos, to give him a schus, lovely de busha. It's the choice of Aaron that's going to bring him to busha. So we have the busha before he's his bechira, and now we have a whole new busha after the bechira. And I'll prove to you, says the Sfas Emes, that when a person is elevated and he comes close to Hashem, he's granted busha. And this is all, Rabosei, part of our initial discussion from the beginning of the shiur about Tara and the Tara of Paraduma that we discussed, which is like the Tara of Yom HaKippurim. Says the Sfas Emes, what happened to us on Matan Torah when we received the Torah? The Pasuk says, Laman tia yir aso al pneichem levilti secheto. Why am I giving you the Torah? What's the impact and the repercussion of elevating the Jewish people to the level of Kabbalah Satoris? Laman tia yirasa al pneichem, that you should achieve this level of busha. Amru chazal zu haboshes. Ayin shom. What it means is, misha ain lo boshes. Chazal go very extreme to say that if you don't see someone who has boshes, has busha, then you could identify him as anything other than a Jew. Because through standing at Har Sinai, our ancestors achieved busha. That was the gift, the great gift of Har Sinai. When you elevate someone to that level of close to Hashem, he gains busha. Hare tachlis, what's the ultimate purpose of kirvas b'nei Yisrael Har Sinai? Like we say in Dayenu, Ilu kirvanu fnei Sinai dayenu. As a result of the kirvas b'nei Yisrael Har Sinai, we were zocha in the midah of boshes, and that's a great, fantastic midah that's going to take us throughout our lives and project us into the proper avodas Hashem ulufisha kodesh baruch hu b'chol ma'isa midah b'midah. Why did Aaron deserve to achieve busha as a result of his karev el mizbeach? Because that's exactly what Aaron was. His level and his actions and his attributes were all connected to busha. For example, what was the midah of Aaron? Ovis abrius mekarv l'torah. He found out about a feud and a separation between two people, and what would he do? Hayu mekarev afilu achotim. Aaron's relationship was close even to chotim, to sinners. And when they came in close proximity and they rubbed shoulders, so to speak, with Aaron, and they felt the sense of busha, then via shuva they came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you too, Aaron, have this level of busha, and therefore you're going to get busha. It's going to be received as a gift. V'chein madad lo abori yisbarach shemo. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Aaron. Sheyikrivu lios, shekirvo lios, Kohen Gadol, I'll call Yisrael. So first we have Vinisbayish Miod the Atzmo. Number one, Aaron had his own spontaneous, natural, innate busha. And now Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to choose you. And why am I going to choose you and appoint you as Kohen Gadol? Because you're going to get through that appointment busha. Because when we elevate you to a higher level, you achieve busha. That's the gift that's given to someone who reaches the closeness and the intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. And therefore, says the Sfas Emes in his beautiful language, V'zeh Tachlis HaShlemus, Aaron is going to reach the perfect stage of busha that's granted to him as a Zechus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. UbiEmes, and this has a message for all of us, Al Yidei HaBusha, if each and every one of us are imbued with the Midah Busha, we feel a natural sense of who am I to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam in tefillah, to bring a karban, to do mitzvahs. And therefore we have a sense of busha, and this is the busha that we inherited from the time of Matan Torah of Har Sinai. Al Yidei HaBusha Yecholim Liskariv L'chol Mitzvah. That's the proper way of coming to do a mitzvah. You don't have busha, if you don't have a sense of trepidation, who am I? A speck of dust, guilty of all my sins. Who am I to serve Hashem as if I'm an eved to the Melech Malchei Amlochim? Kshishem is bayesh b'emes b'libo, when he has that sense, that innate and profound sense of busha, then he's ready to do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Eich yachol gush afar lasod ritzon aboris parshma. That's what a person has to ask himself. Every time we do a mitzvah, we should be asking ourselves, how can I'm a speck of dust in the cosmic universe, and I have the ability to fulfill God's will? God, the infinite God? It's impossible. That's the busha that we have to feel. Ubazeh yachol lasos hamitzvah. Now he has license, he's ready to implement the mitzvah. Ukmochein. But now, after the mitzvah, he reaches a higher level of kiruv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he deserves a new busha. This is the divinely given busha, not the busha pre-mitzvah. The busha that's innate and natural. K'mochein achar mitzvah imu b'shleimus. If he does the mitzvah properly, in a perfect way, chal od busha l'adam. Now he's granted a second busha. That's the busha of Shlemus. That's the busha that comes down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the busha that's going to propel him through his entire life to be a servant of Hashem, to be truly dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Tara of the Paraduma is all about. The Paraduma is going to be the Mechaper for the Chet HaEgel. Rashi says it in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Chukas, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Beis, Paraduma, Moshol, Leben Shivcha, Shetinev, Paltin, Shel Melech, Omru, Tovo, Imam, Tadkaneach, Hatzoa, Kach, Tovo, Paraduma, Tachapar, Al Egel. And what we're adding today is the Paraduma as a kapar for the Egel is going to be an identical kind of experience to that of Aaron when he brought his Egel Lachatos. So we got the Egel Lachatos to be Mechaper on the Chet HaEgel, we got the Paraduma to be Mechaper on the Chet HaEgel. And what is the mechanics of this process of Tara? It is busha, and the busha that comes before we come to Hashem asking for kapara is now enhanced and expanded and embellished by the busha that comes after the kapara, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us through the Paraduma this wonderful element of Tara, similar to the high level of Tara of Aaron Kodesh Hashem after he brings his Egel Lechatos. And as we started off with, by us reading today the parsha of Para, Neshalma Parm Spaseinu, our Kriya should be a substitute for the Paraduma, and Mirtz Hashem, we should achieve Tara through the Kriya's parsha Paraduma, a Tara which will impact on our souls, which will completely transform us into different human beings, and will allow us to come close to Hashem, to dedicate ourselves to Hashem, to Avodoso Yisparach Shmo, Kein Yiratzon, Omni. Thank you very much.